Welcome to Burnside at Home, and thank you for joining with us on the audio recording of our service. As you'll know, our church building is now open for services each Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. You're very welcome to join with us. And if you're still not comfortable coming into the church building, we do have an overflow in the hall, and there's plenty of space in the hall. And if you'd like to come in there, just say to the steward at the door, and you can still take part in our service. We have a video link into there, and it's a little bit more spacious and perhaps even a little bit warmer than the main church building is. So do consider that as you come to join with us. Today, this is a pre-record of our service, and so therefore it's a little bit shorter than it will be on Sunday. There's no hymns as part of this recording for copyright reasons, but if you come along on a Sunday, then you can sing the hymns quietly with us as well. So today we're continuing our series on how do we cope with the book of James, and today we're thinking about how do you cope with being righteous? How are we righteous in God's sight? And we're going to be thinking about that together, looking at the end of James chapter 1. But as we begin our service, I want us to just read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 1. And first of all, verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then verses 13 to 14, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Today we're thinking about what it means to be righteous, and we realise that there is none that is righteous apart from Jesus. So today we're going to be thinking about trusting in Jesus, finding our righteousness in Jesus Christ, and coming to him and asking that he would take away our sinfulness, forgive us, and replace it with a righteousness that pleases God. So let's turn to him in prayer at the beginning of our service. And as we come to pray, and we pray for others today, I want to remember the Gough family. I want to announce the death this week of Mr. Ivan Gough, and I want us to pray for Beryl and indeed the whole family and for all those who are mourning at this time. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we give you thanks that you are the one who is always with us. We thank you that you never forsake us, even in times of sadness and mourning. And therefore, Lord, we bring the Gough family before you today. We pray for Beryl and the wider family circle, that you would surround them with your love and care, that you would watch over them at this time, and that you would be near to them. Indeed, Lord, we pray for all those who mourn today and ask that you would be a comfort and a strength in these difficult times. Today, Lord, we want to praise you that you are the God who forgives, the God who is righteous. And as we consider how we might be righteous in our lives, we pray, Lord, that you would show us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Today, Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering at this time because of COVID. We think of people in our own land here, but as we have watched the television reports, we see that India is being overwhelmed at this time with cases and with deaths. And Lord, we pray for society there. We pray for the hospitals, that you would be with them. We thank you for the aid effort of other countries that have been sending help. But Lord, we realise it's just a little drop in the ocean. And so we pray for India. We pray for the churches there, Lord, that they might be a witness in these difficult and worrying times, and that people might turn to you and find help in you. At home, Lord, we pray, continue to pray about COVID, and we pray for hospitals here and for the work that's being done with vaccination. We give you thanks for that. We give you thanks, Lord, for education and for schools and colleges and universities being open and students being able to learn. And we pray for them and their teachers and for all school staff. We pray for government this week as well, Lord, in a week where politicians have been accused of corruption. we pray for integrity. In a week of change, we pray for the next First Minister of our land and who that would be. And we pray that whoever it is, Lord, that they would come submitting themselves to your law and with a willingness to live the generosity of your grace in all that they do. We pray for local politics here. Lord, we pray for a change here, that there might be hope in our land. So, Lord, we bring all these prayers to you today, and we ask that your name would be glorified in all that we do. Amen. Our Bible reading today is taken from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. So let's read together. James 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Amen. Imagine the scene. Someone comes up to you and starts asking about your faith. They want to know what it means to be a Christian. Where do you take them to in the Bible if you're faced with such a question? Well, depending on the circumstances, there are several places that I would go to. Maybe John 3 and 16 is always a great starting point for explaining the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Might also go to Romans and explain about the wages of sin and the gift of eternal life. There are several other passages that are helpful. But I don't think I've ever opened up James chapter 1, and yet after reading this passage over and over again this week, I think it could well be a place that I could be turning to more and more to help explain the gospel. I'm not sure these are the words that I would ever use to explain the gospel, and yet if you come with me today, let's see the gospel here in all its amazing wonder. What's the passage about this morning? We might immediately jump to the conclusion that it is just about being angry and about watching what we say and what we don't say. And if that is the case, then James, I suppose, is just giving us a few instructions. And I can say to you today, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And we probably would all agree and say, right, I'll try to do that this week. And I look forward to being rewarded by God whenever I get it right. But the main problem with that is I'm not sure how far any of us are going to make it with that list. I guess by sunset this evening, at least two, maybe all three instructions are going to be broken. I think the really interesting bit of the passage comes in the next verse. And there's one word in that verse that changes everything. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. That word that changes everything is righteous. I've been saying over the last couple of weeks that a lot of what James writes is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. And today these verses link to one of my favourite parts of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the verse that's kept speaking to me right throughout lockdown. I've quoted it several times in services over the last year. It's from Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I've preached on that verse many times, but I nearly always concentrate on seeking first God's kingdom. And I don't usually spend as much time seeking Christ's righteousness. And yet the two parts are equally important. And this is the bit that James is majoring on here. The righteous life that God desires. Seek first his righteousness. God requires a righteous life. Now, what does that look like? Well, it does involve, as James says, being quick to listen, being slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And when we become angry, it goes against all that God requires. We feel and we need help. Here is the next in the series of tests that we're facing. Remember, every test is an opportunity to be joyful and to consider what impurities is God going to begin removing from my life through this test. And no matter how hard we try today to live a life that is as righteous as God requires, we are going to fail. We're not going to be as righteous as God needs us to be. So to pass the test, we need to seek the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness rather than our righteousness. So that's why I'm asking this question today. How do we cope with being righteous? Well, we give up trying to be righteous. Because that usually leads to self-righteousness, and nobody likes somebody who is self-righteous. So if we give up on that idea, instead we ask Jesus himself to be our righteousness. We come to him for righteousness rather than ourselves. Therefore, whenever God looks down at our lives, he needs to see a perfect righteousness. And the only way for that to happen is to accept Christ's righteousness and replace our own feeble attempts with it. So what does this look like? Well, replacing our self-righteousness with what Jesus has achieved for us. Well, James tells us that it involves accepting the word of God. And therefore, we need to make room for God's word in our lives. He talks about that word being planted in us in verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. See, here we're told God plants his word in us. It is this word that can save us, because it's through the written word that we then meet the living word. It's through the written word, the Bible, that we meet the living word, Jesus Christ. If Christ, the living word, is going to be planted in us, then to follow the analogy of gardening, then we need to do all that we can to encourage the seed to grow. We need to roll up our sleeves and get on with the back-breaking work of pulling up the weeds. I always dread the first springtime weed of the garden because the next morning my back is usually sore. It soon gets used to it, but the first weed of the springtime is always the worst. The weeding of our lives involves uprooting a lot of things that are beginning to take root. James calls it the moral filth and evil. I'm always looking for things to make the job easier. Some really strong weed killer. A flaming torch to burn the weeds. But there's no substitute to bending down and pulling them out. Accept the word and do everything that you can to make room for it in your lives. The back-breaking work of weeding is be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So we need to make room for the word in our lives. Secondly, James tells us to obey the word. If we cope with being righteous by making room for and accepting the word in our lives, then we nurture that word and make it grow through obedience. If we start doing what the word says, then we will enjoy the word and we will make more room for it in our lives. If it's something that we don't care about, then it will become a chore. If you want to cope with being righteous, allow the word to grow in your life by doing what it says. James gives us a lovely illustration to show how mad it would be to disobey the word, having heard it. He says in verses 22 to 24, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." There were times over the last few weeks that I wanted to forget what I saw in the mirror as my hair got longer and longer and more unruly, but especially on a Sunday. I was trying to get it under control, tucking it into the microphone round the back of my head, trying to make it look as tidy as possible. The Bible is our mirror, and we see what God wants us to be like. And it is madness to ignore what we see. We need to make sure that we are obeying the word and putting it into action. Next, James tells us to find blessing in the word. Those who, I suppose, lightly skim the pages of God's word may well find it boring or perhaps even irrelevant to their lives. But James tells us there is blessing to be found when we look into the word deeply. The looking carefully and doing leads to blessing in our lives. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The chapter then finishes with some very direct instructions. Now, we need to remember that these are not always to become righteous. These are ways that once we have accepted the word planted in us, once we've accepted the righteousness of Christ, this is how we hold on to that righteousness. We do that by being careful what we say. We find that in verse 26, where James tells us, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless." If you consider yourself righteous or religious, then you better listen to the way that you speak, because that could easily betray you. The number of people who profess Christ and yet think nothing of saying something hurtful about another individual, or quite easily will spread gossip about another person, or will become angry and say things that they never needed to be said. James warns us and tells us to keep a tight rein on our tongues. Be careful with what we say. That is how we cope with being righteous. Then attached to that is what James says in the last couple of verses. Righteousness is not just about claiming to have faith. It is shown in how we care for others. We should look after the distressed. If God's word is planted in us, then it should grow and produce fruit. Verse 27, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress." Now, maybe this seems like a bit of a departure, a little bit out of the blue to all of a sudden be caring for orphans and widows after spending so much more time about our speech. But this is just James repeating the major themes that he's already introduced to us in his letter. Trials, wisdom, which comes from God's word, and wealth, caring for those who have little in life. And we see that this is linked to righteousness again, as James tells us to not only look after the distressed, but avoid the sin of the world. avoid being contaminated by the world. He says in the second half of verse 27, to keep oneself from being polluted by the word. We've gone to extraordinary lengths over the last year to avoid COVID contamination. It's not been easy, but we have followed the government restrictions. Would we be prepared to put the same effort into avoiding something that is even more deadly? Into avoiding sin, which tears us away from God? So how do we cope with being righteous? What is it that brings about the righteous life that God desires? It certainly isn't anger. That is obvious. But it isn't even controlling our tongues. It isn't even caring for the distressed. It is accepting the living word. The word Jesus Christ planted in us. He is the only righteousness that God accepts. And therefore, we come to God today asking that he would not see our terrible attempts at righteousness, but instead he would see Jesus Christ in our lives and see what Jesus has done for us. So let's bow before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be self-righteous or try to be good enough on our own, but that we thank you that we can accept what Jesus has done on our behalf. And so, Lord, we come to you today confessing our sin and accepting the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers us. We give you thanks, Lord, for that, and we give you thanks that Jesus is always with us. We give you thanks that Jesus will not forsake us. And so therefore today, Lord, we pray for your continued blessing to be upon us, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.